On this Sunday night, deadly journey, a tragedy in Texas. At least 9 people are dead tonight, many more injured, victims in a human smuggling operation that went terribly wrong. North Korea threat the nation's top military officer with a new warning, saying Americans should be prepared for the possibility of military action. Tough harvest, a labor crisis in one of the country's top farm areas, as immigration fears keep many workers away. Hackers for hire. Just why are big businesses paying big bucks to have hackers break into their computer networks? And remembering Diana from her son's words of love and new insights into her life 20 years after the death of a princess. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. The temperature in San Antonio, Texas on Saturday hit triple digits, 101 degrees and still in the 90s, well into the evening. In that heat, authorities discovered an 18-wheeler with a trailer packed full of people in the parking lot of a Walmart. Tonight, at least 9 people are dead. Those packed into the trailer were mostly in their 20s and 30s, along with 2 school-aged children. All, say authorities, victims of human smuggling. Maya Rodriguez is in San Antonio.
The gruesome scene unfolded after a Walmart employee called 911. Someone climbed out of the back of a tractor-trailer truck parked near the store for hours and begged for water. When police arrived, what they found was shocking.
The truck was loaded with people.
Of the 38 inside, 8 were dead. 17 others rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries.
They were very hot to the touch. So these people were in that trailer without any signs of any type of water. So you're looking at a lot of a heat stroke, a lot of dehydration.
The giant refrigerator unit on the trailer, not on. Airtight doors, normally sealed tight to keep the cold in, having the opposite effect, turning the trailer into an oven.
The South Texas heat is punishing this time of year. Temperatures are at 100 degrees and higher. These people were helpless in the hands of their transporters.
In 2003, a similar human smuggling case in Texas. 19 died, 73 people trapped in a tractor trailer. Human smuggling is a big business. Homeland Security officials investigated more than 2,000 cases of it in 2016, making nearly 3,000 criminal arrests in the U.S. and at the border. Tonight, the search continues for those who fled from this latest scene into nearby woods. Authorities uncertain where they are from or where they were headed.
Checking the video from the store, we found that there were a number of vehicles that came in and picked up a lot of the folks that were in that trailer that survived the trip.
The driver of that tractor trailer, 60-year-old James Bradley of Florida, is in federal custody tonight. He's expected to make his first court appearance tomorrow.
Maya Rodriguez, thank you. The Trump administration has sent another strong signal to North Korea about its nuclear program, the second in as many days. The latest warning came from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford. At the Aspen Security Forum, Dunford told NBC's Andrea Mitchell that Americans should be prepared for the possibility of military action against North Korea, potentially a preemptive strike.
As I've told my counterparts, both friend and foe, it is not unimaginable to have military options to respond to North Korean nuclear capability. What's unimaginable to me is allowing a capability that would allow a nuclear weapon to land in Denver, Colorado. That's unimaginable to me.
I'm joined now by our Pentagon correspondent, Hans Nichols. Hans, what's the significance of this?
Okay, the chairman's comments coming a day after CIA Director Mike Pompeo suggested that regime change in North Korea would solve a lot of problems. The challenge, he said, was how to separate Kim Jong-un from the nuclear weapons that North Korea has. Of course, General Dunford said that the preferred course of action is diplomacy. That's something we've heard from Defense Secretary Jim Mattis almost every time he discusses North Korea. Even after the North tested its first successful intercontinental ballistic missile on July 4th. Now, military officials tell me that they are detecting similar activity around launch sites, suggesting that there could be another test this month. But, Kate, one thing that hasn't changed, U.S. intelligence assessments on Kim Jong-un's character, they don't think he's crazy. They assume that he is rational and that he wants to continue ruling North Korea. Kate?
Hans Nichols, thank you. The man appointed by the president to lead his communications effort said today it's time to hit the reset button and improve relations with the media, though he said he would not want to change the president's style. We get more on that tonight from NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
The president's new message makers.
We want to refine our rapid response team.
There's a ton of focus on what I like to call Russia fever.
From Wall Street's hedge fund world, Anthony Scaramucci's highest profile takeover is happening at the White House communications shop, where tomorrow he promised a warning to staff.
Going to keep leaking. I'm going to fire everybody.
But that swagger did not smooth over new discrepancies today on key issues regarding the president's interest in his pardon power. Trump personal attorney Jay Sekulow was definitive.
We have not and continue to not have conversations with the president of the United States regarding pardons. Pardons have not been discussed and pardons are not on the table.
But Scaramucci left a different impression.
I'm in the Oval Office with the president last week. We're talking about that. He says he brought that up. He says, but he doesn't have to be pardoned. There's nobody around him that has to be pardoned.
The power of the pen. Congress is expected to send President Trump a bipartisan bill that includes sanctions to punish Russia and limit his authority to lift them, which the president had opposed. New press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders sounded like the president was already on board.
We support where the legislation is now. We'll continue working with the House and Senate to put those tough sanctions in place on Russia.
While Scaramucci left the door open.
He hasn't made the decision yet to sign that bill one way or the other. And so when he makes that decision, I will 100% side with him.
Scaramucci says the president should keep using Twitter. Today, after a wave at his Virginia golf club, he did, tweeting about Russia and lashing out at his own party. It's very sad that Republicans, even some that were carried over the line on my back, do very little to protect their president.
That report from NBC's Kelly O'Donnell. We heard from Senator John McCain today, 4 days after he announced that he has brain cancer. On Twitter, McCain released a photograph of himself sitting by a creek in Arizona with a friend. The 80-year-old senator continues to recover from an operation to remove a blood clot above his left eye. McCain has said he is reviewing treatment options for the cancer with his family. In Texas, a restrictive bill on gender and bathroom use is headed for a showdown after a state Senate committee voted in favor of the controversial legislation. Even before a final outcome, the bill is having a big impact, just like a similar bill did in North Carolina. We get more tonight from Joe Fryer.
Lightning rod legislation is sparking an emotional debate in Texas. The state Senate committee heard 10 hours of testimony Friday on a so-called bathroom bill, hearing mostly from those who oppose it. It would restrict bathroom use in government buildings and public schools to the gender on one's birth certificate instead of their gender identity. The legislation frightens Sierra Jane Davis, who's transgender.
For me, specifically looking the way I do, that would mean that I would have to go to a men's restroom, and that puts me in even more danger than I already am.
For many conservatives who favor the bill, it's about setting boundaries.
I believe it's common sense on one level. I do believe that the privacy issue and the safety issue are a real concern.
But many companies argue it's bad for business, with IBM taking out full-page ads against the measure and the CEOs of 14 Texas corporations signing a letter in opposition.
At the heart of this legislation, its only purpose for existing is to stigmatize and marginalize transgender people.
Tourism leaders in Texas say they've already lost $66 million in canceled conventions because of the bill and could lose over $1 billion in bookings if it passes. This year, North Carolina repealed its bathroom law after artists like Bruce Springsteen canceled concerts and the NBA moved its All-Star game out of state. In Texas, the bill still needs to pass the full Senate and House as the Lone Star State wrestles with a deeply divisive issue. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
In one of the country's most important farming areas, there are increasing concerns tonight about the harvest and whether crops will have to be left to rot. The problem is labor, not enough workers showing up in the fields. And as NBC's Jolene Kent reports, the underlying issue is immigration.
At the Ikeda Brothers Farm, harvest begins at sunrise.
We have other ranches that we've had for 90 years.
But this year, their 1,000 acres of bok choy, broccoli, and kale may not all make it to market.
Over the last couple of years, we haven't been able to harvest between 15 and 20% of our crops.
At the beginning of each day, Tommy Ketta worries if he'll get enough workers to hand-pick the lush fields.
This year, it really hit hard. On a daily basis, in a harvest crew of 16 people, I may get all 16. I may get 9. You never know how many people are going to show up to work.
It's a serious labor shortage. 9 in 10 farm workers in California are foreign-born, many from Mexico. According to the Pew Research Center, more Mexican immigrants have been leaving the U.S. than are arriving.
The labor shortage is so severe that entire fields of vegetables like these have gone unharvested. In fact, here in Central California, in two counties, more than $13 million has been lost.
Among the causes, politics and policy. The Obama administration deported 3 million undocumented immigrants between 2009 and 2016. Okay. And the Trump administration has conducted a surge of arrests.
It's absolutely been detrimental to the agricultural community to be able to continue to grow and harvest the fruits and vegetables. It made it difficult to have day-to-day certainty.
That uncertainty could be a reflection of Washington.
I think there may be a little bit more fear because of the unknown.
How do you incentivize workers to come work for you?
We are paying well above minimum wage right now. We have a 401k holiday and vacation pay.
Ikeda wants a more accessible guest worker visa program to ensure the next generation can take over his family's fields.
My hope for my son, as well as my nephew, is that they can take this operation and be able to overcome the challenges in the future.
To reap what they sow for another 100 years. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Oceano, California.
We've been reporting on the increasing turmoil in Venezuela, the anti-government protests and clashes with police that have killed scores of people in recent weeks. And tonight, we want to focus on a group of volunteers who've been risking their lives for months to help people injured in those clashes. They call themselves the Green Helmets. And NBC's Kerry Sanders has their story.
Prayers before yet another humanitarian mission in Venezuela. Volunteer medical students and doctors assembling with Federica Davila, just 23 years old and one of the founders of the so-called Green Helmets. Venezuela is a country in political and economic crisis, and wading into the violence, the non-political Green Helmets, 200 volunteers strong.
Medicine has no color. We are there to help each and every person who needs medical assistance. We have helped National Guards and policemen that resolved injured by this protest.
The first responders often swoop in on motorcycles waving a flag, hoping they won't be targeted themselves.
And we believe that we can help people, so fear is not an obstacle for us.
But there is always danger. One Green Helmet died when he was struck by an armored vehicle. One of their biggest challenges, bandages, gauze, and medicine are in critically short supply out here, even in hospitals. The Green Helmets rely on donated supplies.
I don't believe we're heroes. I believe that we're working on what we know how to do.
Venezuela's Green Helmets, a self-described patriotism to save lives in a country where few expect peace anytime soon. Kerry Sanders, NBC News.
In this country, a spectacular fire today in Waltham, Massachusetts. It started early this morning and spread quickly from two buildings to five. The eight-alarm blaze caused all the buildings to collapse and destroyed dozens of vehicles at a nearby auto body shop. Hundreds of people were evacuated from homes and a senior housing complex. No injuries were reported. Still ahead tonight, they hacked their way into corporate computer networks. Why some of the biggest companies are paying them to do that. Also, a wedding to remember, two former Olympic athletes. And for the groom, why walking down that aisle was his biggest victory yet. We've all heard the warnings about computer hacking of business, government, and of course our personal computers. As companies try to protect themselves, they're increasingly turning to those who probably know the most about breaking into computers, the hackers themselves. Here's NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
With a thumping soundtrack, Mark Litchfield is on a mission at his home office outside Las Vegas.
He's a hacker for hire.
I enjoy the challenge. That's all it is. It's me versus them type mentality.
He's breaking into the accounts of some of the biggest companies in the U.S., and they don't seem to mind. In fact, they pay him to find vulnerabilities.
We would attack this. We would go after all this.
On this day, his main target is Uber.
Why does Uber want you to hack into their system?
Because, I mean, they obviously care about their customers' data.
They're called bug bounty programs, a way more and more companies like Google, Microsoft, Facebook, and Uber farm out some of their cybersecurity, offering $500, $1,500, even $15,000 each time a hacker can break in. Uber's paid out more than $1 million in the last year alone.
Can it be risky?
So the reality is people are hacking your product already anyways. The difference with the bug bounty program is now we're incentivizing people to tell us about it so that we can fix those vulnerabilities.
San Francisco-based HackerOne teams more than 100,000 friendly hackers, ranging from retired software developers to high school students in India, with companies that need their help.
The days of thinking that you can do it yourself or pretending that these problems don't exist are just gone.
Litchfield, a former computer researcher who ran his own consulting firm for more than a decade, has earned more than $750,000 over the last 2 years.
Do you see yourself as one of the good guys here?
Oh, yeah. But I'm not doing it for free.
A modern-day bounty hunter, the latest defense in a cyber war. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Las Vegas.
Up next, we'll hear from Princes William and Harry almost 2 decades after the death of their mother, Princess Diana. Next month will mark the 20th anniversary of the death of Princess Diana. And tonight, we're gaining new insights into Diana from her two sons, who speak about their mother in a new HBO documentary. From London, NBC's Matt Bradley has more.
A more intimate look at a life that inspired the world.
Our mother was a total kid through and through. When everybody says to me, you know, so she was fun, give us an example, all I can hear is her laugh in my head. And that sort of crazy laugh of where there was just pure happiness shown on her face.
Princess Diana's sons, Prince William and Prince Harry, have collaborated on a new documentary. Diana, Our Mother, Her Life and Legacy, debuts tomorrow on HBO. When she died, her sons were just 12 and 15. 20 years ago, this spot in front of Kensington Palace was covered in flowers, tributes to Princess Diana. It's taken those 20 years for her two sons to come to terms with her death and to reveal new glimpses of her life behind these walls.
We felt, you know, incredibly loved, Harry and I, and I'm very grateful that that love still feels there.
It was that love that even if she was on the other side of a room, that you, as a son, you could feel it.
Now, as a father, Prince William says he wants Charlotte and George to know about their grandmother and to feel her love. Matt Bradley, NBC News, London.
When we come back, a wedding promise kept with a walk down the aisle you will not want to miss. Finally tonight, something to smile about. Last year, after a terrible accident, a former Olympian was told he might never walk again. But yesterday, a big surprise, especially for the bride.
The walk down the aisle always turns heads, but for this bride and groom, it was so much more.
I was a little anxious and I was a little nervous.
Jamie Nieto was a two-time Olympic high jumper, competing in both Athens and London. But 15 months ago, he was showing off one of his signature moves when he slipped and fell on his neck, the spinal cord injury leaving him partially paralyzed. Doctors told him he might never walk again.
I didn't agree, to say the least. I wasn't, like, devastated. I was just more like, no, I'm going to walk again.
From a wheelchair 6 months later, Jamie proposed to Siobhan Stoddard, a former Jamaican Olympic hurdler, promising her he'd walk down the aisle on their wedding day.
She said, okay, I believe you. And she said, when we talked about it, she said, okay, it's going to take about 150 steps. And I was probably up to about 6 at that point.
Determined, Jamie worked nonstop, with Siobhan coaching him on.
I tell Jamie all the time, Jamie, you can walk. You can walk.
And Saturday, he did, and then waited for his bride.
The first thing that's, like, prominent in my head is, like, hold your balance, you know, so just keep standing, buddy, you know.
After saying I do, the newlyweds walked out of the church.
That's that love and that passion that's inside of Jamie to do it on such a special day. It really meant a lot to me and for our family and friends to see him actually do it.
Today, the newlyweds are enjoying their honeymoon after an unforgettable wedding and what might have been the highest jump of his life.
And he's not just talking about walking, by the way. Jamie wants to run again with Siobhan as his coach. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be back here tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.